Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and you are tuned into Black Geek Movie Talk. It is Sunday, March 27th. Today, we are going to be talking about Batman v Superman. And today, for this momentous movie occasion, we have our special guest host. I'm Yolanda, your regular host, and I'm here with my co-host, Elise. Say hello, Elise.
Hello, thanks for listening.
But we're also, like I said, joined by our special East Coast host, Nicole, say hello.
Hi.
We've also got OJ on the phone.
Greetings.
And Chica.
Hello, everyone.
So we're talking about Batman v Superman. I'm not going to waste any time. I want to get into this. I'm going to turn it over to Elise to try to give us a summary of what we saw.
Yeah. I think it's possible. This was directed by Zack Snyder, who, of course, did Man of Steel, did 300. Written by David Goyer, who did a bunch of stuff, Dark City, Blade, Man of Steel, along with the Oscar winner Chris Terrio, who wrote Argo. So this Dawn of Justice takes place about 2 years after Man of Steel. This is in the universe of the Dark Knight Returns comic book series. So this Batman is older, he's darker, he's more jaded. This is not Christopher Nolan's Batman. The movie basically opens with the third act of Man of Steel, but from the perspective of Bruce Wayne. So we see glimpses of Superman fighting Zod, but it's all taking place from Bruce Wayne's perspective. And he sees the destruction, he sees the death, he sees the tragedy. He blames Superman for all of that and decides that that kind of unchecked power shouldn't exist. At the same time, Clark Kent is just getting pissed off at Batman's vigilantism, and he's decided that one dude shouldn't be going around branding people and doling out his own brand of justice by himself. And so Lex Luthor, played by Jesse Eisenberg here, is fanning this animosity while he's also trying to bring about Doomsday. And of course, we have Matt Damon as the new Batman, and Henry Cavill is back reprising his role as Superman.
Did you just say that Matt Damon is playing Batman?
Oh. He sure did.
Because I was just like, wait a minute,
now,
what movie was that?
Even now.
You know, same thing. Same thing.
Pretty much.
Okay.
They're bros.
All right. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to clarify, because I was like, if it's a different Batman, I want to see that one. Maybe that one would maybe
it might
maybe
have been
a little bit better. Maybe, I don't know. Let's talk about really, really quick. We always on the show we do a summary, and then I like to talk about whether or not we were looking forward to this. I will say very quickly, only reason I was looking forward to this is because I wanted to I wanted to talk about how bad this was going to be, because to me, there was no way this was going to be anything but a big fat mess. I mean, the best that we could have hoped for was a big fat mess, in my estimation. And I wanted to talk about the reasons why in a very clear and concise manner. One of the reasons I invited all of our guest hosts on is because everybody has very strong opinions and can, you know, speak very well about why they feel that way. And I just thought it was important, even though we don't really have any power on the show. It's not like our reviews are swaying Hollywood, but still, I felt very, very strongly about wanting to be very clear about why this is a big fat mess. I don't know why. Elise, how did you feel going in?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be a mess. Like the rest of the world, I was horrified at Ben Affleck. Horrified.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Zack Snyder was a bad choice. Yeah, just not looking forward to this. But do I have to see it?
Yeah, right, right, right. Nicole, what about you? What were your feelings going in?
My feelings, I had negative zero expectations for this movie. I was terrified about Ben Affleck as Batman because of, you know, how he did it with Daredevil character.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just really going to see how big of a mess it was going to be. That was my feeling going in.
Mm-hmm. Sheikah, what about you?
I had no great expectations of this movie. Like everybody else, I was, I was horrified by the casting choice of Ben Affleck and absolutely disgusted with their casting choice for Wonder Woman. So I did not have great expectations.
Yeah. OJ, what about you?
I pretty much had already decided, and it wasn't just based on the castings, it was also based on the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing presented before the film came that made me feel at all good about that there was going to be a good product. So I went in thinking, I can't be disappointed because. Kind of like Star Wars.
Shot.
Okay. So it sounds like let me start by this. So it sounds like everybody had zero expectations for this. Let me start by asking: was anybody disproven? Were your low expectations at any point? Did you ever say while watching this movie, like, oh? Okay, that was not so bad, or they kind of swayed me there. Did anybody feel like that happened for them with this movie?
I did. Yeah. This is Nicole. Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So why don't we start, because it sounds like we all overwhelmingly have things that we feel are negative about this film. Why don't we start with what we thought was good? Because it sounds like it's going to be a short list. And so I want to leave as much time for what's negative. So let's talk about what we thought was good. So I heard, I think that was Nicole and OJ, who felt like there were some good things. Nicole, do you want to start with what you thought was good, what worked?
Yeah. It's going to be random. So the one thing I thought that worked really well was the way they introduced the other DC characters that were going to be coming, the Flash and Aquaman. The other thing that worked extremely well for me was the introduction of Aquaman. That was fantabulous. That was like worth the price of admission.
I know what you're saying. Yes, he's gorgeous, but it didn't make the movie better.
I went to the movie with my mouth tooted up for a number of reasons, and one of them was like she could set Wonder Woman, and I have to say, I don't know if I'm gonna get like tomatoes thrown at me, but she wasn't as awful as I thought she was gonna be. I mean, I still have some questions about her. She's not, of course, she's no Linda Carter, but I was like, that might not be terrible. That might not be terrible. And then I think those were the I kind of liked Lex Luthor a little bit. You know, I'll save my what I didn't like for him. But I should say the way the actor portrayed him, because they can only work with what they're given. You know, I thought that it was pretty, you know, pretty good. So those are the things that I liked.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who else had some good things to say? OJ?
Yeah. I felt that Affleck wasn't actually as horrible as I thought he was going to be. He actually did a halfway decent job. I thought it was going to be a total utter disaster, but it wasn't. He was okay. I could see me going to see Affleck in a Batman standalone movie. I could see that.
Mm.
Now again, I'm not giving him a total pass. He wasn't great.
Right.
It just wasn't the incredible steaming pile I thought it was going to be.
Right.
True. Yeah.
Right. 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 Yeah. 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 Now, who was sighing? Was somebody sighing?
That was me. I'm sorry. That was me. That was me. That was Nicole.
Well, the reason I'm asking is, do you strongly disagree with that? Did you not like him at all?
I don't strongly disagree. I agree. He wasn't as totally sucky as I thought he was going to be. I noticed how the camera manipulated those body shots, because otherwise it was not going to be good unless they got a body double. But I think that's part of my bad. I'm going to say that. But I just don't know. I mean, I think part of this is Christopher Nolan's fault, because my brooding dark Batman, what's his name from the Dark Knight series,
Christian Bale.
And uh-huh. So Ben Affleck as dark and brooding is difficult for, so I don't know if I'd want to sit and watch it for 2 hours, but of course I would go. You know, just sitting here thinking about it makes my stomach hurt just a little bit, because I don't know.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I interrupt. OJ, was there anything else that you thought was positive about the film?
That's about it.
Okay.
Oh no! Wait. I can also say the action scenes were well done.
Oh really?
They were fairly. I was, and I'll also add just. Because I got a whole lot of bad to say, so let me just get the good out. I'll also add, it did a decent job of dragging out some emotions. There were some genuine emotions at certain times,
okay.
As far as the writing is concerned.
Mm. Okay,
yeah,
but
people
not the
in my
act-
theater were clapping and stuff.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were like when Superman did certain things, they would clap. When Wonder Woman showed up on the screen, they clap. You know, so there were some moments of like, you know, whatever, clapping and stuff.
Did you clap?
What?
That's the question. I thought they did a great job of, even though, I mean, I have nothing against the actress who plays Wonder Woman or her acting ability. I just completely disagree with them, you know, casting a, you know, skinny woman as a Amazon when there were so many more appropriate people. I mean, they just went after, like, you know, the cute little whatever kind of actress that they typically pick. But I am happy with how they at least presented her, because I felt like in other movies, female superheroes aren't always, you know, presented as strong. My greatest example of that would be how they presented Storm in X-Men. I was super disappointed with that. So mm-hmm. I was at least happy that, you know, she is presented as, you know, this badass with all of these powers, you know. And, like, you know, one thing I was joking about is, you know, you actually get to – they do confirm that Batman is a dude. The only way he could fight the monster at the end is by avoiding it. But
right. mm-hmm. Yes.
But,
yes.
You know, Wonder
yes.
Woman's, like, getting thrown everywhere by the monster, and she's getting
that's
up.
Right.
So, you know, I, you know, if she's, like, you know, rushing back into the fight. So I
yes.
was happy with how they present her as a warrior and a kick-ass superhero.
Right.
Chica.
Right.
Chica, and I wanted to add, she rushed back in with a smile on her face, like, oh, yeah.
Okay. Before we move to negatives, I had a couple of positives. I thought that I liked actually the very beginning when they showed the destruction from Affleck's point of view. I appreciated that from a visual aspect, and also sort of, it was just kind of neat. I thought it was a succinct and neat way of bringing the two characters and the stories together, like seeing it, you know, from the ground view, you know, and the different angles. I really like that, just from like a visual, like a production aspect. Although it very quickly, for me, I very quickly got annoyed with something. But I thought that that was good. I actually also liked some of the quieter moments, like when they first, when Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne are at the party with Lex Luthor, and they're not their alter egos, and they're there, and they're just interacting. I actually thought that that worked. I actually like that. Like, he's there, and he's, you know, getting the feedback. You know, Alfred is talking to him in his ear, the thing, and then, you know, obviously Clark Kent, he can hear him. He turns around. Like, I like that. I like, the quieter moments. Not all of them, but that one I thought worked. I liked, I was like, oh, you know. I'm trying to think. There was one other thing that I thought worked pretty well. I liked, you know how I am about music. I actually like, I don't know if you guys picked up on it, I assume that this is going to be Wonder Woman's theme, because they played it every time her character showed up, once she was in battle, in the action sequences, not as Diana Prince, but it came up, her, I guess it's going to be her theme. I was like, oh, I like that. And so we'll see. But those are the things that I liked and thought were good. Okay. So I guess, Elise, did you have any positives?
Yeah, I kind of like everybody said, I liked Wonder Woman, the way she was introduced. Even when she was Diana Prince, she was wearing those dresses. I'm like, geez.
Right.
So I liked her fighting style. I actually liked Jesse Eisenberg's portrayal of Lex Luthor, but I know, I understand why people wouldn't. Like, I get it. But I enjoyed watching him kind of just like play in that role. Yeah, I did actually. But I can see how it might have gotten a little bit annoying, and maybe it wasn't like, maybe he wasn't true to the comic book version of Lex Luthor, but he was kind of just, I felt like as an actor, he was just having fun with that. All the stuff, like the little twitches he was doing in his face, and like the hooded, you know, his eyes were hooded and lowered. I thought that was all, I liked all that stuff. So like him and Wonder Woman, I really liked. And then Ben Affleck as Batman, when he was fighting as Batman in the costume, wasn't bad. I'll say that. He wasn't bad. As Bruce Wayne, I mean, I have my own, you know, I've got some opinions, but...
Some opinions. Okay. All right. All right. So let's get into, I'm trying to think of a constructive way to get into the negative. Since the casting of Ben Affleck was the reason that geeks' heads exploded, why don't we start there? Why don't we start with casting? Not necessarily Ben Affleck, but with casting. Negatives. Now, everybody, well, so far, I've heard three people say that they didn't think that Ben Affleck was actually that awful. Sheikha, I didn't hear you say that you didn't think he was that awful. Do you think he was awful? Or do you think he was not that awful? What would you say?
It's not that I thought he was awful. He's just not Batman. He's not Batman.
He's not Batman.
I just, no. I mean, but you know, I don't know if I can completely blame him for that, because my biggest complaint about the movie is they tried to do entirely too much with this movie. I mean, it was entirely too many storylines, and it was very confusing, and it seemed almost contrived because they were trying to stick so much in and try to make you understand so much in so little time. I mean, I think one of the biggest things that's confusing, and OJ and I even argued about this until I looked it up online, Lex Luthor is Lex Luthor Jr. That's not Lex Luthor, that's Lex Luthor's son. And you know, I mean, I felt like, you know, my whole time, you know, I just felt like I don't know. I think they should have done better, a better job of developing him into Batman, and maybe have given his own, giving him his own standalone movie, because he did not have enough motivation to be that doggone angry. I mean, if you know the comic books, then you know that, you know, there's a time where he gets even dark. He's always been a vigilante, but he gets even darker. And, you know, you get to understand why he has a dislike of Superman and why Superman has a dislike of him. But in that 2 hour or whatever, you know, time movie, you didn't get to have the understanding. So, I mean, it seemed like he truly had no motivation to be like he was. Lex Luthor had no motivation to be like he was. I mean, it just, you know, I think it lessened the impact and made the actors look foolish to me.
Yes. And I'm going to just piggyback what you just said there. My biggest problem with this film, and what I thought was going to be the problem, they proved, was that there's been no development. You just cram all of these characters into one film. I don't really have any motivation to be rooting for any of these people, starting with Superman, one of the title characters. We've seen him in one film that's gotten like sort of lukewarm reviews. We've not had a chance to really see Henry Cavill be Superman. Not really in the first one, definitely not in this one. I don't even know why he was there. He was just like a piece of cardboard. I mean, and I was trying to figure out, why don't I feel more for these people? And the point is, the reason is that they haven't developed any of them. Nobody, I can't get behind anybody. I'm only familiar with these characters based on things that I know from my childhood, okay? And none of these people are these people in my mind yet. And, okay, so it's an interesting thing. For example, they've been playing the original Superman series, like, on rotation on Sci-Fi, the original. And I was like, and I sat down and I watched them. I watched the first Superman, and I watched Superman 2. And it dawned on me why I can't get behind Henry Cavill. Spent so much time trying to make him, I feel like the modern Superman who's not that goody two shoes or whatever. I don't know what the problem is. Like our heroes can't really be heroes anymore. They have to have like sort of like this dark side. But the problem doing that is I haven't seen him be Superman. I haven't gotten to see him like save people, like Christopher Reeve. The first film, all he did at the end of that film was just save people. In Superman 2, he's just saving people. That's what he does. He saves people. He cares about people. So far, all I've seen Henry Cavill do is destroy cities. You know, he's yelling and crying at the end because he killed Zod. Then in this one, he comes in, and what does he do? He's just getting like, I can't get behind him. And then, you know, Ben Affleck, no, he wasn't god-awful, but like somebody else said, a couple of you have already said, we just finished seeing, like, the Christopher Nolan Batman, and so that is still very fresh in my mind. Ben Affleck comes, I only know him from Daredevil and Geely, and I know he's done other stuff, but it's not, like, superhero stuff. I'm talking about superhero stuff. So when he comes on the screen and he's like grimacing, you know, and he's angry, it's like, what, like you said, Chica, like, what is he so angry about? Why is he like, what is the problem? I don't know who you are. Where is the real Batman? And then on top of that, you know, you all know how I am about music. One of the worst things for me was like painful for me. And I was looking around the theater to see if anybody else was reacting to this, was the music. There were some moments that were so comically bad. I was giggling. I was like, did they really just do that? They could have hired my 6-year-old niece, could have written better, more compelling music for this thing. They had like these ridiculous don 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 kind of music. And I was like, what's happening? Where's Hans Zimmer? I was like, oh my God. And even for like Batman scene, he had no theme music. You want to know why? because Hans Zimmer already made the Batman theme music for the Batman that we just saw a couple of years ago. So they can't, like, he has no theme music. They did a couple of the Man of Steel music. We kind of heard some of that, but it never crescendoed to its full. Like, it just wasn't there. I was like, what is going on right now? Are you serious? Is this seriously happening? So for me, a lot of the problem, again, I will just say, is that we haven't had time to really get behind any of these characters. I just sat there and I was like, all I wanted to do was laugh half the time because nobody was really in jeopardy for me. I'm really annoyed with them not letting, you know, Henry Cavill be Superman, like really give him a chance to come in his own. You throw Ben Affleck in there. He's angry for no reason. I really don't understand why he's so angry. Wonder Woman, you know, and we talked about this, to throw Wonder Woman in some film as a sidekick, just like we haven't gotten to see her. I can't even speak. I'm so irritated by the fact that Wonder Woman, this female, the most famous female superhero ever, and she doesn't warrant her own movie. She has to get thrown in the side, like some side piece that doesn't really matter, like some, you know, piece of something left over on the street. Like, that bothered me. As good as she could have been, I was like, by the time we see her and she has the great music and yeah, she just gets to do some battle or whatever, I was just like, this is like chump change. I'm being shortchanged and I'm not going to be happy with what they did with her. You know, I'm just not going to be happy about it. I can't stand Lois Lane. Can't stand her. Can't stand her. Cannot stand. She's got to go. She's got to go. And I don't know if the problem is, like, what is the problem? Like, for me, I don't know if, I guess nobody else feels that way, but I feel like every time she showed up on the screen and he, you know, she's in the bath and he comes in and he's got flowers. I was like, what is happening right now? I don't know if they don't have chemistry to me or she's just annoying. I don't know what the problem is. I didn't like her. I didn't like Lex Luthor. I did not like Jesse Eisenberg at all. At all. I could see what he was trying to do, and it wasn't working for me on any level. On any level, I thought it was ridiculous. I don't know. I just
So, how do you really feel, Yolanda?
I know. Break it down.
I guess for me, the problem is not developing these people on their own. You know, we haven't gotten to see Henry Cavill be Superman. You know, you introduce Ben Affleck. He's angry for no reason. Lois Lane, I don't know if it's the casting or just what they've done with that character is no good for me. Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor Jr. was atrocious. The music was killing me, ripping me to shreds. I couldn't believe it. So those are my overarching problem with this film. Elise, jump in here.
Well, yeah, I mean, my biggest issue is with Zack Snyder as a director. He can't let anything breathe. Just like, this is a great story. You know, you have two superheroes, you know, that are fighting for good and justice. And they're trying to grapple with issues of, you know, what happens when you have power that's unchecked? Should one man, you know, be able to act unilaterally? You know, those are good, like, juicy themes to explore, right?
Uh-huh,
but he just didn't let anything breathe. It was like, explosion, terrible music, over the top performance, explosion, terrible music, like vomit, just like vomit all over the screen. And that's kind of like, he did 300 and that kind of worked because there wasn't much of like a story, I would say. It's just like that was a fun visual feast. But this, and especially because these are really like beloved characters, it was too much. And I guess I can't blame him because they also wanted to like set up the Justice League trilogy, so they had to start introducing characters. It was just, it was a mess. I was kind of sitting there in a daze, like, is all of this happening right now? Is this all?
Yeah.
Is this real? Is this real life? Well, it's not, but yeah, it was just, it was like vomit is what it was like.
Yeah.
It was like CGI vomit.
Well, and again, because there was, like you just said, like there was a good story, you know, I was actually thinking, you know, it was good to, okay, so you're trying to bring Superman into like current times, and the fact that everything has like some sort of repercussion, some sort of political, like the question of, can we really in this day and age have a character just going around just doing good? I sort of liked the question of, well, you know, he's just trying to do good, but you can't just come in and do good. What if, you know, this government has certain rules and, okay, well, you're trying to do good in one instance, we've actually done negative because of something else. But the problem is, like you said, that really is a juicy kind of story to be explored on its own. You know what I mean? Like maybe instead of having a Batman versus Superman movie right off the bat, right after Man of Steel, maybe they could have, you know, to me, it feels like they're trying to play catch up to Marvel. Like, I feel like everything at this point is reactionary. Yeah. It's reactionary. They've got Civil War coming out, so let's hurry up and do our version of Civil War. No. Ignore, pretend like Marvel doesn't even exist. Because to me, the DC characters are much more wide known and well known than the Marvel characters were. I didn't care about no Captain America and no Thor and no Iron Man. I didn't care about them. They could have, they've got Superman, for God's sakes. They've got Batman, for God's sakes. They've got Wonder Woman. For the love of God, let them be their own characters. Let them have three movies each. Completely ignore Marvel. Build them up. Give them time to breathe. Give us a chance to fall in love with these characters that we've all grown up with. But no. Instead, they're reactionary. They just want to like play catch up. Let's hurry up. But you know what? That doesn't work. Because what ends up happening is, like you said, Elise, we're sitting here, we're watching them vomit all over the screen. We don't care about any of these people. One iota, you know what? When they were threatening to kill Lois Lane, I was like, hurry up and kill that heifer. Throw her off the building and let's let him move on to somebody else. I'm really tired of seeing her. And as a moviegoer, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be hoping that Superman can get to her in time. You know, I want her to live, but I'll tell you what, I have the exact opposite reaction, and that is a really, really, really big problem. You know.
Yeah, this is Nicole. One of my biggest issues with the movie was the plot. I just felt like they were making a lot of promises they couldn't keep to us in terms of resolving plot issues. I think they needed to have, you know, as an English teacher, I'm going to say one thesis statement. Like there was like, there wasn't one main argument. There was a theme, of course, of Batman versus Superman, but like, what's the main thing that you're trying to explore here? Are you exploring whether or not, you know, superpowers are altruistic, are completely altruistic? Are you exploring, you know, regular politics, governmental politics versus superpowers? Like, what are you exploring here? I also think that Lex Luthor Jr. had the worst villain plan of all time. I was just like, so that's your plan? And you have a backup plan to the plan? Like, you know, I was just kind of like, you know, they should have committed him to one villain plan. And then the other thing is, they could have cut out like 30 minutes of the movie. I feel like at this point, if you're going to see Batman versus Superman and you don't know Batman's origin story, then just Google it. I feel like they could have just bypassed all of that. They could have bypassed that initial thing about the building and the girl going, there's my mom. Like, what, are you going to grow up to be a villain or something? Like, why are we seeing this? You know, and then they were having these shots in the movie with, you know, Wayne Manor busted down and he's in some other home. But I mean, I was like, well, why? Okay, but then it never got addressed later. You know, like nobody said at the party, yeah, when Wayne Manor got busted down because blah, 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 did such and such, that would be crazy. Like nothing ever, like never. So why even, this is not about Batman. This is about Batman v. Superman.
You know why? Because it was all building up to the fact that their mothers have the same name.
Yes.
I forgive you, man. You're a pure-blood American. You're not an alien. Our mothers have the same name.
Right.
That was another thing. I was like, so you mean to tell me Batman has built up so much anger that he spent all this time in the lab coming up with various ways to use kryptonite against Superman, and he has the thing at man's throat, and what stopped him?
Because our mom's
mother's name's Martha.
Name's Martha.
What stopped him? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was sitting at the movie. I'm sorry. I want to say one more thing. I was looking at the movie, and I was thinking. I was like, when I have this conversation with everybody on the call, I want to be able to say at what point the movie all went wrong for me. And I'm going to tell you when it all went wrong for me. When Batman showed up,
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What? And so the dream sequence when he's in the desert.
Yes.
With his trench on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? So they wouldn't even, Batman doesn't even come up with his own Batman desert suit. He's just going to put on his Batman stuff and a trench coat in the desert.
In the hot desert.
In the hot desert. I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to keep watching, but just so you know, I'm done.
No,
wait a minute.
I agree that I had a problem at that point, but my problem was, seriously, you're going to cram in one more thing. One more thing. Seriously?
Right. And not explain it. So now they have the power of foresight, each of them. I don't understand. That's part of their power? Okay. I understand.
Before we go any further, I feel like we've lost OJ. Is OJ still there?
Oh, I'm still here. I'm soaking in.
I just wanted to make sure, because I'm seeing everyone in my studio, but I, okay.
I can talk in something if you'd like.
Talk.
You briefly mentioned Marvel, a Marvel Studios movie. You mentioned some Avengers stuff, and we luckily get to see Marvel from two points of view. We get to see Marvel movies from Sony, where they screwed up, and we get to see Marvel movies from Marvel Studios, where they get it right. And the difference between the two is the Marvel Studios movies show that they actually care about what the fans think and that they actually understand the characters.
Okay.
Here's proof that whoever the hell had whatever to do with this movie does not understand the characters.
Okay.
Batman's parents were killed by a gun. Batman abhors guns. Never uses guns. He will take a gun and beat you to death with it, but he will not shoot you. Can't stand guns. But you saw this Batman busting caps in folks like it was no problem. He was just shooting folks.
He was
using other folks to shoot other folks. He was just and on top of that, Batman doesn't kill people.
Oh,
this Batman was taking folks out. He had guns on his He had guns on his plane. He had guns on his car. He was taking other folks' guns, and he was killing. He was straight killing folk.
Straight killing.
And mm-hmm. Batman doesn't do. They do not understand the character at all. They
and what about
up,
the
I don't
branding?
Know,
Did
and
we have
branding.
A problem with him branding people?
Yeah.
That too. So he's running around branding people, knowing that when they get into prison, they're going to be killed with this brand. Really? They had no clue about what this character's motivations are. They don't understand the character at all. And that's the mistake Sony was making with their Marvel movies until they finally realized, okay, maybe we need to start listening. And then they did Deadpool, and now they see how to get it right. And they actually got Deadpool correct because they listened to the fans. DC needs to get their stuff together because Marvel is running over them with a truck. It's crazy. Marvel understands what to do.
You know what? I almost feel like DC is has a handicap because the characters that they're dealing with are so much more well known than the Marvel character. I almost feel like the Marvel characters, they actually had an easier time because for a lot of folks, they were introducing them. Like, I mean, unless you were like really, really into comics and you wouldn't really know these characters. I mean, I guess I knew of Iron Man, but I had absolutely no idea what his story was about, and I did not care. That's the other piece. I didn't care about Iron Man. I didn't care about Thor. I didn't care about Captain America. And so I almost feel like Marvel had the luxury, you know, sort of introducing the public or remaking these people in whatever way that they wanted to, while DC almost had a much harder time because even if you've never read a comic book, if you were alive and in the world in, like, 1975, you knew who, like, Superman was and who Wonder Woman was and who Batman was, you know? And so it's almost like you got, like, more to prove. I mean, I don't know. But I just feel
you know
like...
What?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking that, too, until I saw this movie. And if they can take some of the creative licenses they did with the movie, I feel like then they have more. They have a larger drafting board than they thought they did, and they could use that the fact that we are familiar with the Justice League characters, the DC comic characters. They could take that. They could use that as an advantage because that means they can shortcut some of the stuff that Marvel is having to do. They don't need to go into a whole thing about everybody's backstory. If they do, it can be like a 1-minute thing or a 2-minute thing or three lines of dialogue or something. It doesn't have to be like, you know, a 10-minute dedicated, you know, thing. And so, you know, if anything, you know, if I were them after this ridiculousness, although I don't know that they're probably going to make like gobs and gobs of money, so I don't think they're going to learn anything. But I think that they should really now, okay, we finally got that movie out. It's done. Now let's sit back and revisit some things. And they could mine the comic book for stories that we don't know. I think a perfect example of this is the Suicide Squad movie that's coming out. I'm so excited to see that movie. And I know about Joker, and I know about Harley Quinn, and I know about some of the other people, but I'm ready to see this take on those villains. You know, and so I think they could somehow tell us a story, you know, involving the DC characters that we don't already know, but that still stays true to who they are, you know. And I think it goes back to what Ajay says: they don't care.
They don't care.
They just want to make money and be part of the superhero movie conversation.
Yeah. Or even do something. I just don't think it was like really well thought out. I mean, you know, because I'm thinking about, because you mentioned, you know, don't spend a lot of time on origins since these are more well-known characters. I'm just thinking about how they did, and I don't know how everybody feels about it. You might not feel as positively about it, but how they did the origin story in Man of Steel. I thought the way that they did that was really, really clever, and I actually enjoyed watching it. They didn't spend a lot of time on Clark. You know, he crashes in the field and he's found by, you know, I almost said Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. You know who I'm talking about. he was just found. They didn't spend time on that. It was sort of done like in flashbacks, you know, just sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I really, because they knew, we already know the origin. We don't need to see that again. We all saw the Superman, presumably with Christopher Reeve. We all know the story, read the comic books, we saw Smallville or whatever. And it was like this clever way of doing it where it was like a nod to, you know how it was,
mm-hmm.
you know what happened, and just,
mm-hmm.
and they like interlaced it with the current. I really like the way they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But they just, I don't know, it just really feels to me just reactionary at this point. I just think that they need to, whoever the powers that be, needs to just pretend like Marvel doesn't exist, sit back, take a breath, and just luxuriate in these characters, figure out new
mm-hmm.
ways to show things that we already know, you know, but give us really, at the end of the day, it comes down to give us a reason to love these characters again. Give us a reason, because right now, unfortunately, I really don't really care that much about Henry Cavill as Superman, and I would like to, because he's fun to look at. But, you know, as Sheik said in the beginning of the show about Jason Momoa, you got to do a lot more than just look good. You got to give me a reason to root for you. I need to believe that you are this character. And I need to, you know, I mean, I'm still, how many years later is it when the Christopher Reeve Superman comes on the screen, I'm cheering and I'm clapping like I'm a little kid again. And that, you know, and why? Why is that? Because they gave me a reason to believe that he was Superman. They gave me a reason to believe that he was that character. Okay. So what else do we want to say about this?
Well, I would like to defend Mr. Henry Cavill.
Okay.
I really, really love him as Superman. I think physically
mm-hmm.
he's perfect, not just because he's, you know, handsome, he's got some good genes. Physically, he's perfect. He's really put in some work to look superhuman. And he does save people. He saved people all throughout. He saved Lois Lane a bunch of times. He saved the woman at the gas station. He saved the kids on the bus. He saved the planet from Zod. And his crazy self. I feel like they, I mean, I agree completely. They need to give him another standalone film. They shouldn't
mm-hmm.
have thrown him in
right.
with, you know, this atrocity that was Ben. Well, I can't say it was an atrocity now, but they shouldn't have thrown him in with Ben Affleck. It's just like it's negative light kind of
yes.
damaging his
yes.
his new Supermanness.
Yes.
But I'm still for Henry Cavill's Batman. They don't need to replace him. They need to make at least two more movies standalone with him by himself.
Yes. I mean, I agree. I don't think that he needs to be recast. I just want them to give him a chance to be Superman, because at least I don't even remember him saying, okay, so you said he saved the planet from God. Listen to me.
He did say.
Wait a minute.
He did.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Just wait. Wait. While he was saving the planet, he was also destroying. They had a 45-minute fight where they destroyed towns. They completely obliterated wherever they were, and the buildings are coming down. It looks like 9/11. You want to know what the difference between him and Christopher Reeve Superman was? I'll tell you what it was. In Superman 2, when Christopher Reeve was fighting Zod and the lady and the whatever, he left Metropolis. Why? Why did he leave Metropolis? He left Metropolis because he saw the people were in jeopardy. while he was fighting them, they were threatening the people. And Superman was like, no, don't, they're innocent people, don't do that. And he actually left. He looked like he was a chicken. People at first thought he was like a chicken because he was leaving, but he was leaving to draw the fight away from the innocent bystanders. Meanwhile, Henry Cavill's Superman seems like he don't give a crap. He don't give a crap who's dying. They're smashing buildings. That's why you got Ben Affleck grimacing and angry. You know, he's smashing. You know, he doesn't care. He doesn't care.
No.
And then, wait a minute. And then they go to the second one, and he's on trial. For what? What has he done? And all I'm seeing from this Henry Cavill is, like, negative. Like, I haven't gotten a chance. Nobody's like, what is happening? I don't understand. In comparison to what Christopher Reeve's Superman did, he seemed to be, like, just spending time saving people. And I haven't seen enough of Henry Cavill just saving people. It's like,
okay.
I don't know.
Can I
maybe
respond?
I think that's unfair.
Yes, you can respond.
This is a little unfair.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are two issues here. One, that was Superman 2. This Superman is brand new. He just discovered his powers. Maybe he's not exactly aware yet. Maybe he's still trying to figure out. And two, that's the fault of the writers. That's sloppy writing.
Yes, that's
not Henry Cavill. Superman.
No, I'm not blaming Henry Cavill. I'm not blaming Henry Cavill.
Okay.
I said I don't want them to recast him. I want them to write something.
You want them to rewrite Superman. You
I
don't like
to...
the way his Superman has been written.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, let me say this, though. I mean, I think that that's, I don't know about that, because I think that we have been fortunate in that we have not seen the byproduct of Superman saving people. I mean, you know, in order to make an omelet, you're going to break a few eggs. Who knows what, you know, I'm not saying that it's okay that buildings are destroyed and people die, but who knows what could have happened if he hadn't done what he'd done. And so I think that, you know, all we see is people, aliens in the sky fighting. And I think the way that it's presented is almost like it aligns Superman with the aliens, and I'm just fighting the aliens, and I'm an alien, and I don't care about humanity. But Batman does, which is another thing they don't really follow through on all the way. But I just think that, you know, I think that was kind of like a wonky setup to even begin with, because that was not your thesis statement. You know what I mean? So you weren't going to support that throughout the movie to that degree. Your support, at issue in the movie seemed to be Batman and Superman and the ways they approach justice, but you know, Superman's alienness seemed to be not a front and center, but kind of like a byproduct. Oh, and by the way, plus you're an alien too, you know. So I just think that, I mean, I don't know. I felt like he saved people. I felt like I was cheering them on in the movie, you know, and I just think,
yeah.
And with Lois Lane, let me listen. It's just a part of who Superman is, being in the middle of saving the world, and she can be like, help, in the bottom of the well, and he'll push that on pause and go get her out the well and goes back to saving the world. Like, that's just part of who, that's like, I think if you take Lois Lane away, that's like taking away the fact that he can't be around kryptonite. That's just part of, you know, who she, I mean, you know.
I just don't like her. Maybe I just don't like that her casting, because every time she comes on the screen, rather than me rooting for her or like liking her, I'm annoyed. Like I'm turning my head away and I'm sucking my teeth in disgust. Just like, oh, God. Do we really have time for this?
I actually thought a good job of writing Lois Lane so that she doesn't seem like a weakling. You know, she's like, you know, I'm not a woman, I'm a journalist, and she's never like this weepy little, help me. So, I mean, you know, I thought they actually did a good job of writing her not to be this, you know, weak, helpless woman.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He
Yeah,
I
do.
Look at comparison. You know, no slight against the actors, but look how they wrote Uhura. I mean, seriously? I mean, she's, you know, no offense. I don't mean anything bad about this. I am a woman. I'm a womanist. She's such a girl. You know, it's disgusting. Like, you're not punching nobody. I mean, all these fights happening around you. You know, you were trained in the military. So, yeah, I felt like you know, they didn't make Lois Lane into this, like, you know, girl.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Opening scene is her with these insurgents sitting down, about to interview this man, like they're at Starbucks somewhere, but she's like, okay, I got some questions, let's go. I think that's kind of set the tone for her in this movie.
But to me, that was the equivalent of Uhura trying to talk to the Klingons in Into Darkness, where she starts out, I can speak Klingon, and we have to do, and what happened? He grabbed her by her neck. Like, he was going to snap her like a twig. And that's exactly what happened with Lois Lane in this. Like, I'm in Afghan, wherever. All right. And we're going to talk. And then what ended up happening? He grabbed her up by her neck, getting ready to shoot her, and she couldn't do anything. And then she runs around for the rest of the
film. She was trying to be a journalist. Uhura's a military.
Right. That's true.
But Uhura got a few swipes in that scene when they were fighting the Klingons. And she's supposed to be she's a whatever her rank is on the USS Enterprise, but they still don't do a good job. I mean, I just have issues with her. I have issues with her, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the chemistry between the two of them I don't buy, or it's her face, or I don't know what it is. But there's something about, you know what it is? You know what it is? Here's what it is. Here's what it is. Because they haven't given Henry Cavill a chance to be, like, just let's be Superman. Let's just let him do something. Besides, he still seems like a piece of, like, cardboard, being like a piece of and then Lois Lane comes in, and it's like, because he hasn't had enough time on his own to become like this character, whenever Lois Lane comes into me, it's like it's detracting, because I don't have him firmly established as Superman yet. So when this annoying woman comes in who has to be saved every 3 seconds, it's like it's detracting more from him. It's detracting more. I haven't gotten to see him be Superman enough. Like, don't introduce. Yeah. I want less of Lois Lane and much more. I need to see him doing something besides, you know, there are a couple of shots. He's got his shirt off. There's a couple of shots, you know, he's grimacing and he's making, like, I don't know. I just need him to be Superman, because for me, he hasn't fully become that character yet. And so when Lois Lane comes around and she's got her high heels on, you know, and these ridiculously high heels as a journalist, like, what are you doing? It just gets on my nerves. And I know they try and make her, like, you know, be kind of tough. She's not that girl. Oh, I can go in the men's room. Oh, I'm not afraid. It's like,
oh my God.
I don't have time for her. Okay. Ben Affleck. We haven't really talked about Ben Affleck, or have we? I mean, we talked about him.
I mean, I don't know what else.
Awful.
He was kind of key to me, kind of Keanu Reeves-ish in the film. Like, he was, you know. He only displayed one emotion, and that was
grimacing,
you know, sullenness, grimace. So yeah, varying variations of sullenness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they wrote anything else for him to play.
I don't think grimace. Okay, turn to the left and grimace here. But I will say this: I really liked. I don't know what it was, but I liked when him and Wonder Woman were having that conversation at the end. Towards the end, I mean, you know,
when
after
they were
Superman's funeral on the farm.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, and I just kind of liked how they were. I wish they would have more moments like that in the movie. Like, to me, it felt like one of the few genuine moments. Like, okay, listen, there's some stuff going down. I don't know what's gonna happen, but we're gonna have to just call everybody together. Like, it just felt like a more of a genuine kind. Because if you're gonna take a certain tone in the movie, then like be dedicated to that kind of a. To me, it was kind of like a grown up. Like, the kids could still kind of get into it, but it was like a grown-up kind of tone. And I don't know that they always hung on to that, throughout the whole movie. But I just liked the whole cinematography of that and the way it looked aesthetically. And I liked the idea of the two of them talking. I just liked that moment.
Yeah,
I will say there were moments. It was a mess overall, but there were moments that I thought visually were interesting. Especially, I kind of felt like he kind of, like most directors, kind of like bit off of the Wachowskis in the first Matrix. Especially that slow motion where the shells from the gun are falling and you see them hitting the. So he kind of. It looked great, but he borrowed that. And then also there was that whole sequence where the cops are kind of moving through the building and they're backlit by the spotlight on top of the car. That was very like the beginning of the Matrix when Trinity is in the building. So there were and the cops are coming in to get her. So there were moments that were like. That looked great and I could have enjoyed, but it was just, he didn't let it breathe. It was just, it was like, let us just enjoy this. Let us enjoy the interaction between Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck. Let us like just sit here for a second. You know what I mean? let it breathe.
He couldn't because he's rushing to get all of this story in. It was doomed from the start. Because he's got to tell like 55 different stories in 2 hours, so there was no time to let anything breathe. It's like, okay, gotta go. Okay, we gotta introduce this. All right, go. All right. He's angry. Okay, and she's in danger. Okay, and now it's Wonder Woman's turn. Okay, and now there was no time to let anything. He's doomed from the start. Because you're throwing in 75 different storylines. Two new major characters you're introducing us to, throw them all in a film, let them be at odds with each other. Oh, and then we got to come together at the end. It's like, it's a hot mess. And unfortunately, I was sitting watching this, there was one action sequence that I literally was like, I literally do not care about anything that's happening right now. I've completely zoned out. And I think it was when Batman was trying to get the kryptonite the first time. And it's like that chasing and cars, and I completely zoned out. And I remembered somebody saying, when there's too much, CGI on top of no character development, you got nothing. You've just got stuff happening. You got a video game is basically what you got happening. Because there's no,
you have a music,
you don't care
video,
about anything.
Which is all the 300 was. The 300, I loved it. But it was a music video. That's what this turned out to be.
But the reason why 300 was enjoyable is because he really only had one story to tell. He had one story to tell. And then you get to just have a pretty music video. Because you're not trying to introduce 75 different things happening at once.
Right.
Okay. Is there any part of this that we have not explored or dissected? We've talked about the mess because you're trying to introduce new characters. You have no time. We've talked about some of the casting choices. We talked about.
Did we talk about Aquaman? Oh yeah, we did. Sorry.
I'm curious, Nicole, why you thought that introduction was so fabulous.
Was it the way that his hair flowed around his head?
Yes. Oh my God, when that happened, I almost jumped out of my seat and ran around the theater waving my hands in the air. Did you see that?
Oh my God.
I mean, I would like to reiterate what Nicole said about them being able to cut like 30 minutes out of this movie and actually replace it with worthy content. I mean, the whole thing with I can't remember what the name of the monster is, but him doing the King Kong thing, did we really need to see that?
We didn't need that at all.
No. The whole, like, you know, 10 rows of ammunition that Superman gets to before he and Batman actually lay hands on each other. I mean, I think that you know, I really did enjoy the action sequences, but I think that there was story that they definitely could have cut to mm-hmm. add something that would have actually helped, you know, people glue things together. I mean, Lex mm-hmm. Luthor Jr. says in the movie that, you know, talks about his father and introduces his father, his daddy issues, but it's so quick that people don't even realize that, you know, that's not Lex Luthor. I mean,
right.
they focused too much on stuff that, you know, didn't actually add to the plot of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They just tell you something, but then they don't, like, show you. Like, they
right.
told you in, like, 2 seconds, but it would have been more effective to show us, you know, instead of saying,
right.
you know, such and such and such, show us. That's a more effective, you know, movie, you know.
Right. I really feel like this movie, the purpose of this movie was to say, hey, guys, we're making the Justice League movie.
Right.
Look, here's some foreshadowing. Here's some stuff you're going right. to see. Lex Luthor Jr. is coming back, and he's crazy. He must have done an ET to somebody while we weren't looking at him because somebody's coming.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think one really cool visual, I think that they totally did not put enough importance on or use enough or carry through enough was that picture. You know, when Lex Luthor Jr. talks about the picture's upside down
yeah,
and when it
uh-huh.
turns back around.
You
right. know, and so by the time they showed the picture turn back around at the end of the movie, I was thinking, why are you showing us that? Like,
right.
You showed the picture one time. You said his little Easter speech about it. And then and now you're showing it to us again at the end of the movie. What does that mean? Just like when they would have the hearing and she had that jar of pee on the thing and it was like and I was like what? Like I mm-hmm. knew that they had a conversation about it. But so
right.
when they showed it earlier, why is she when he said it to her, she was acting like a badass. Now, why
yeah.
are you shaking like a leaf during the hearing? I mean, like stuff like that. Like, they would try to bring up something really cool and awesome. Like, they could have done a lot with that Day of the Dead ceremony and him saving the – like, it's just they would have some really important, awesome, poignant – I guess I'm going back to what Elise said – moments. But they just would never let it breathe, let it carry through, let it mean something. It was
Again.
just wasted.
Yes, because they tried to do too much.
I think those two scenes that you named actually were very important points. But, you know,
they got lost.
People didn't get a chance to actually hear, mm-hmm. you know, to connect that dialogue, you know, and see the P. you know, in the glass
yeah.
that was labeled tea,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
and, you know, mm-hmm. be able to connect that. That's when she made the connection, like, you know, she thinks she's the badass in what she does, and then she comes to realize that she's not, that he is. You know?
Right.
And, you know, he makes a point of having a seat in the front and not being there, and that's when she starts to think that, you know, I underestimated him and something bad is getting ready to happen. And then I think the other point you made was the picture that they show mm-hmm. you that art piece at the end, so that you can connect the fact that the creature that you see in that art piece looks the same way that the creature that Batman sees when he has that dream. But
oh.
everything happens. You don't see it. You don't process it.
Right. Right.
Well, I
right.
thought that
right.
they.
Right. Oh, okay.
Well, I thought the reason they showed it again is because he flipped it upside down. Because remember when he was talking to the judge and he was like, because originally the picture showed the angels coming down from heaven and the devils coming up from below. And he said
mm-hmm.
to her, he said the picture should actually be flipped upside down because we've learned that the devils aren't coming up from below. They can actually come from above. So when we see that
mm-hmm.
picture again, he has flipped it. And the devils are on top and the angels are below. But it's completely lost because, again,
exactly.
it's like the subtle, you know, poignant, you know, thing they're trying to say. But you stuck it in the middle of a bunch of mess. And so we don't
Doo-doo.
Get to... Yeah, we don't get to... Thank you, Nicole. Nobody knew what mess meant. Just to clarify, I mean doo-doo. When I say mess, I mean doo-doo. A steaming pile of doo-doo because, you know, it just gets lost. We're trying to sift through this doo-doo. And so stuff
mm-hmm.
like that just gets lost in
mm-hmm.
the duty.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So I think we have completely, are there any other points that we want to make? I mean.
Can I say that I love Lawrence Fishburne as the whatchamabobby? I liked him. That's what
yeah.
I
yes. Yes.
I was a little excited to see him.
See him again. Yes. He
mm-hmm.
is good. He is
mm-hmm.
he is
yeah.
just about
all
the
right,
only
Morpheus.
Thing. Yeah, at the Daily Planet, that is good. Okay. So we talked about casting, we talked about the story, we talked about music. We all know that they're gonna make a ton of money. So
yeah.
everything that
yeah.
you talked about is lost. Because
yeah.
the only thing that Hollywood responds to is money. And so it's cash money. And, you know, and after coming out of this film, I was actually a little bit sad. I said, you know, because it's unfortunate that as geeks, you know, on the one hand, we're sort of living in great times, you know, because we have all these, you know, comic book movies to watch. There's so much so that you can't even like really keep up with all of them. But on the other hand, it's really a loss because there's really no motivation or reason for making a comic book movie with some thought and some love that tells a story. Really, the lesson here is that if you just get a whole bunch of comic book characters that people have some passing understanding of, and you throw a bunch of effects in it, and you cast whoever the hell you want, and you do whatever the hell you want with the story, it doesn't matter, because you're going to make a ton of money. So, you know, it's kind of sad. Like, at the end of this movie, I was actually kind of really depressed, because there's going to be more of this. There's going to be more of this nonsense.
Can I introduce a random thing here? Did
yeah.
everybody have the X-Men trailer in there? In yep. the preview in their thingy in their movie?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
We did.
Because I just wanted to ask about. Well, I just wanted to briefly say that the new Storm. Well, not the new, but the Storm going to be make us feel better about Storm in the past. That's all I wanted to say, but everybody didn't see it, so never mind.
I mean, well, I've seen it before. They've shown it in front of other
mm-hmm.
movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I read something where people were upset with that casting because they felt like she's lighter than the way she is in the comics. I can't comment on that because I'm not familiar with Young Storm in the comics, so I don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is she lighter?
Mm-hmm.
She's the same shade
know.
As Halle Berry to me.
She sure is.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
We just want her to be kick-ass, that's all.
Right.
Yeah. At
yeah.
least he didn't cast like Michelle
Yolanda...
Pfeiffer. At least she could brown.
What? But Yolanda, to add to your point, Yolanda, about you know, them not really caring and just throwing superhero movies up on the screen to try to make money. I mean, so yeah, that's a horrible thing. But you know, I mean, think about. I mean, it's not something just specific to science fiction and fantasy movies. I mean, they do that with, you know, all kinds of books, whether it be, I mean, look at the Nina Simone story. I mean, looking beyond the, you know, brown face situation, which pissed me off so bad, I actually posted on Facebook. Okay. But,
yeah.
You know, even the story that they told was completely incorrect. So, I mean, that's a Hollywood thing where, you know, they take a story and they feel like they can do whatever they want to with it. I mean, look at the Harry Potter series where they had books that were brilliant that everyone loved, and they had a screenplay writer who would just write his own crap. I mean, not completely, but, I mean, he actually made good books into some bad movies. So, I mean, I don't think that's something that's specific to fantasy and science fiction. I think that, you know, we get to see it happen on the big screen more often now that people are looking to fantasy and science fiction to make their big bucks, whereas you know, at one time, that's not where they were looking. So we're seeing it happen more frequently just because we're seeing those movies up on the big screen more frequently, I think.
That's a good point. That's a good point. That's what they do. And that is why more and more I get more and more excited by films that are not based on any property. It seems like there are some smaller films in terms of specifically genre stuff that get done that sort of, you know, sneak by, I guess, the populace at large that are actually really well done. And, you know, really delve into story and character and make you care about the things that are happening. They're not just a bunch of, you know, effects driven. Oh, let's just get some superstar casting in here for whatever reason, for no reason other than it's a name that people recognize. I think that's why more and more I'm really just like, I don't know so much about these big, tentpole films anymore. I mean, every now and again you get a fairly well done one, but more often than not,
Deadpool.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, more often than not, you're not gonna get a Deadpool. You're gonna get a, you know, steaming pile of
Daredevil. Better known as Daredevil.
Or Batman v Superman. So with that said, we've got some time, but I think, you know, unless there's some other major points that someone wants to talk about, we can jump to ratings. Is there anything else that anybody feels a burning need to bring up?
Well, this is a little bit off topic, not necessarily about this particular movie, but they just released some stills from the forthcoming Wonder Woman movie, and apparently Philippus, who is the only woman of color Amazonian that was mentioned in the comic books, is missing. So
good.
I
great.
Didn't know if
anybody... That's fabulous. Thank you. Thank you for that. And on that note... Another
thoughts,
reason
questions,
to like,
comments.
Want to riot. I mean, we have time. We can talk about that. I mean, listen. While nobody seemed to have anything like super negative to say about this Wonder Woman, I'm still irritated by the fact that they cast someone who looks like if you looked at her the wrong way, she would break a limb. I still have a problem with that casting. So
can I play devil's advocate here?
Yes, you can.
Does she physically look different from Linda Carter or Wonder Woman from the comic books?
Okay, when she showed up in that those fly dresses, I mean, and the dresses were fly, and she was wearing them, I was like, okay, I see you. But I had to sit back then and be like, okay, what did Linda Carter look like when she was wearing her clothes? When she was not in her Wonder Woman regalia, she was slim. She was slim. It's just that she was curvy. And I think this woman, I don't know her name. I have to learn her name now, I guess. Just get over
Gal.
It. But this woman.
Gal. Her name is Gal. Gal.
Gal.
Gal.
You know, I think if you, because I think it's one thing to see the, you know, the promotional shots of her. I think it's another thing to see her within the movie in action. And for me, that made me feel better about their choice. You know, so I mean, while I was watching the movie, I had to just release my bias against her, because my part of my bias was based on the promotional shots that I saw, and another part of my bias was just based on my childhood based affinity and love for Linda Carter as Wonder Woman. But like, but when she came with the lasso of truth and she had the shield and the I screamed. I mean, I looked at my friend. I was like, "Where's the lasso of truth? Where's the invisible jet?" You know. So when I saw the lasso of truth, I was like, I squealed. You know, I think that you know, I'm not. I think now that I've seen her in action, and I've seen how they've dressed her, I've seen how she moves. I like her interaction with Batman. She's putting him in his place all the time. Like, oh, you're looking for such and such. Oh, it's in your glove compartment. See you later. You know, like, I just think that really made me feel better about it.
I'll tell you what made me feel better about it was the music. That's what made me feel better about it. And because music is really, really powerful. Really, I think people don't really understand the power of music. It plays on you subconsciously in ways that you don't even realize it's happening. So that's when I got excited, to be quite honest, is when that music kicked in, and I was like, oh, like I got up in my seat for a minute. It didn't really have anything to do with her. That's a horrible thing to say. I'm sorry.
I'm still holding on because I made myself believe that I heard, you know, that they were going to be casting Gina Carano. And I was like, yes, oh my God. And then I was like, no, what happened? I want the former mixed martial artist as Wonder Woman.
I mean, on the one hand, she would have been awesome. Yeah, but that ship has sailed. So I mean,
hold on, I'm still bitter.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I was like, when she was on the plane, when she was on the regular plane, like taking her time, like I was like, why the hell is she on that plane? Everybody knows that she got her own invisible jet.
Why is she flying commercial?
I was like, what's happening right now? Who is this? This is not Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Wonder Woman?
Like, did she leave her dead at home?
Right. Is it somebody's car?
Anyway, if I could toss in a dude's perspective.
Yes, please.
We're ready. So they obviously went out of their way to make sure that they presented you with a bulked up Superman.
Yeah.
And a bulked up Batman. Mm-hmm. Both Superman and Batman represented what you think of when you see a superhero. I mean, Ben Affleck had never been that cut up before in his life.
Mm-mm.
But the both of them, you looked at them, you said, they have a superhero physique. Then you look at Wonder Woman, and this is nothing against Gal Gadot. I don't know her personally. I haven't seen anything else, but she looks anorexic. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. She does not look like a superhero. She looks like Yolanda says, she looks like you could blow her over, you know, with a fan. She does not look like she could go toe to toe with these men And Wonder Woman is supposed to look that way. She is supposed to look intimidating just standing there. She's supposed to look like she can beat you down. And this Wonder Woman does not look that way. Linda Carter was not huge, but she wasn't a stick.
Right. She wasn't a stick. She wasn't a stick. And wasn't somebody saying that according to the comic books, because I'm not well versed in the comic books, wasn't somebody saying Wonder Woman is supposed to be as strong as Superman? Didn't somebody say that?
That there's been an evolution in DC Comics in general and with Wonder Woman specifically. And the original Wonder Woman, as far as powers were concerned, was actually more on par with Batman than the Wonder Woman we have now. She was an Amazon, but all Amazons were all powerful warrior women. They weren't supernatural.
Okay.
And she was just the best of them.
Okay.
So now we have, but this new reboot of Wonder Woman, she's actually now on par with Superman. In fact, some people don't know, in the comics, she can fly. She doesn't need a jet. She can just take off and fly.
So they're probably doing that one. Okay.
And so, she can go toe-to-toe. She's supposed to be the female version of Superman, even more so than, let's say, what we think of when we think of Supergirl.
Okay.
She's representing, the women for the Justice League.
Okay.
And, it's like you guys were saying about Storm, is that Storm's presence in the X-Men is just supposed to be so overwhelming just by looking at her and talking to her that, she doesn't really need to do anything, but if she had to do something, it's over. And you didn't get that from Holly Berry.
<Mm-mm>. Not at all.
If she had to do something, it's over. Yeah, definitely did not get that from her at all.
And Gal Gadot doesn't represent that either. Is that, you look at it and granted, they did much better than I thought they would, but still, I'm sorry, that wasn't Wonder Woman. I just couldn't see it.
Yeah. And for me, again, I really think what really sold me on her, not as Diana Prince, but as the Wonder Woman in action, was when her theme kicked in. Because that was the most memorable, in terms of music, that was the most memorable thing in this movie in terms of music for me. It was the most exciting. They didn't even play the Hans Zimmer Man of Steel music. They played the quieter moments of it, but not the build-up, which I thought was one of genius. For Hans Zimmer to come up with a theme that made me sort of forget about John Williams' Superman was the most astonishing thing about that film. I didn't think anybody could ever come up with a theme that would be like modern and exciting and make me, unfortunately, they haven't written the character at the same level that Hans Zimmer's music has done. But that's a whole nother thing. Okay, so we've got 1 minute left, just enough time for everybody to rate. And who wants to start with their rating? It's 0 to 5, 0 being the worst, 5 being the absolute best thing ever. Elise, why don't we start with you?
I'm going to give it a 2. It had a couple scenes that got me.
Okay. Nicole, what about you?
I'm giving it a 2. I'm giving it 2 based on, the things I said earlier. I like the Wonder Woman casting. I liked some of the scenes in the movie. So, and of course, Aquaman. So, 2.
Okay. Sheikah?
I give it a 2 also. I mean, I really enjoy the fight scenes. I enjoyed them, making sure they didn't present Wonder Woman as a wimp. So I'll give them a 2 on that.
And OJ?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with everybody. 2, and it only gets the 2 because there were some things that I thought were going to be garbage, and they actually were only bad, not garbage.
Okay. I'm going to give it... 1.75 stars. Just to be different. So we don't have 2s all across the board. Okay, that's going to do it. We're going to be back on, what day are we going to be back? We're going to be back on April 24th. We're going to be, yes, Sunday, April 24th. We're going to be reviewing The Huntsman. So hopefully you guys will tune in then. We're now off the air, actually. So if anybody has anything that they want to say, you are safe to say it. So we're not live.
So Yolanda, I never noticed music. I never noticed
me
music.
Neither.
You know, the only thing that I noticed was when the horrible music came in, when Batman was on like this highest peak and he was looking down. I was like, what? Is this a joke?
Yeah.
This is horrible.
You know what's funny about that? I think that most people, I think I've seen like, you know, different like documentaries about soundtracks and that. And they say, most people say that you actually really shouldn't be aware of the music. When you're aware of the music is when the composer has done a poor job. And I guess it's really only, I just have an affinity for music. And so I'm always super, super hyper aware of it. But this was the first time in a very, very long time. I mean, I can't even remember the last movie I saw that I thought it was just comically bad. Like, I was guffawing at moments that were supposed to be very dramatic. There were several. There was one time when Lex Luthor was walking. I guess he was granted access to the spacecraft, and he's walking through, like, this white tunnel or whatever to get to it. And I laughed out loud. I laughed out loud. And I was like, is anybody else, like, hearing this? It was so bad. And for such, like, a big, big movie, I couldn't believe that they didn't spend a little bit more time coming out with some sort of theme. Again, Wonder Woman's theme was the only good music that played. It was the only thing that got me, like, totally sold on Gal Gadot. If they had played something similar, I would be, like, ready to, like, storm Warner Brothers. I was just, like, because I was already not wanting to like her. But really, that music was the best thing.
I'm going to have to look that up because it totally, I didn't even, like, as soon as I saw her, I started clapping and squealing. So I probably, like, couldn't even have heard the music. I'm about to look it up.
Oh, and I did forget to mention my favorite moment. My favorite astrophysicist.
Neil deGrasse.
Oh, yeah.
That was, you know, he's in the Superman comics. Like, sometime last year, I think he helped Superman figure out where his planet, you know, used to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't mention that.
Mention that I was so tired of seeing all of the real life commentators in the movie.
I know. I'm like, okay, you're pulling me. What's the favorite phrase, Yolanda? You're pulling me out of my immersion.
Pulling me out of my immersion. And for me, Nicole, you mentioned the part of the movie where you had checked out. It happened for me a lot sooner. It was actually when, at the beginning of the film, when we're seeing the destruction from Batfleck's point of view, and everything was good up until, for me, I was like, why would they still be there? When he had to call the dude and tell him, I was like,
I'm done.
When Ben Affleck is driving through the streets and he calls, I guess, CEO or whatever, and he's like, tell everybody to get out of the building. I was like, why would they still be in the building? And then when the dude was still standing there, when the dude was still there, everybody else had left, why was he still there? I was like, this is some dude.
Right.
And then when that girl, when the little girl just showed up middle of the, I was like, I'm really done right now.
We're gonna save your mommy. Where is she?
I was like, really?
Destroy.
He was from the Wayne Daycare Center that was in the building, guys.
Oh, my Lord. I was like, that is too convenient. That is too Is that the word? Like, too contrived. Too contrived for me. That the little girl's in the building, and she's looking up, and she's holding her teddy bear, and that Ben Affleck is going to save her. I was like, oh, come on.
That's when I started saying this is stupid. So I said it a few other times during the movie, but that's when I started saying this is stupid. They got to call you to tell you to get out of the building. This is stupid. But then when Batman throws the smoke bomb and Superman can't see through the smoke, that's stupid.
Wait, what?
I didn't even think about that.
When they're fighting and he throws the smoke bomb, and then Superman, like, walks through the smoke not realizing that Batman's not in the same place anymore. Seriously?
Yeah.
At the end?
Yeah.
And that was a punk move, too, for him to throw the smoke bomb and run off. I was like, is that what you're doing right now? Is that what you're doing?
That's what you're like.
Batman realizes he is a dude.
Exactly.
Humans die.
Exactly.
He's like, you ain't throwing me like 17 miles and I'm going to survive that.
That's when he realizes he's a dude and humans die. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Of course he had to throw a smoke bomb. How else are you going to fight Superman? Gosh. I mean, come on. Give me a break. And I also appreciated, Sheikah, you mentioned this, at the end when the giant orc comes and they're fighting the giant orc. And he's just, Batman is nowhere to be. He's not in it. All he's doing is running. Because, humans die. And this is not a battle for you. So just stay the hell out. Let the Superman and Wonder Woman deal with it.
Right.
You run. Because humans die.
Basically, he's the DC version of Tony Stark. And Tony realizes outside of that suit.
Yeah.
That's a wrap.
That ain't nothing.
He can forget it.
Human die. That's what the next Batman starring Ben Affleck should be. It should be Batman. Humans die.
Humans die. Poor fella.
What he is. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that is all for now. there are no more films, in my mind, coming out this year worthy of Roundtable. So, I think, that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, maybe not for, Winter Soldier.
Civil War.
Civil War.
I mean, I guess, you know, in a way, we kind of could, because it's sort of like a direct comparison, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like their version of, I guess. What do you think, Elise?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big Captain America. I mean,
yeah.
We could do it.
Yeah.
He's just a really strong dude.
He's a dude. What, World War II throwaway that we're trying to bring back into the fold?
I mean, for me, I kind of feel like he is sort of the prototype that DC should be following when they try to write Superman for like modern times, because to me, Captain America was goody goody, you know, this goody goody character. But they've managed to still make a compelling, and they completely won me over, because I did not care about Captain America, not 2 cents worth. And so far, to me, in my mind, the two films that they've done with just Captain America and like the first Avengers have been really, really well done. They have managed to create this goody, goody, goody character, but make him compelling and not boring for modern times. And that's what they really should be paying attention to. If they're trying to bring Superman into modern times, but still make him like a living, breathing person and not like a piece of pretty cardboard. That's what they should be doing. But I don't know. I don't know that they're ever going to get it together with him. Because at this point, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Anything is possible. But okay, we'll have to revisit that. That's, I think that's coming at May something, Civil War. So, all right, we'll have to figure it out. But how was the sound for everybody? I think the sound, at least, was it good on your end? I didn't. Nobody was dropping out. I didn't hear anything.
No.
Popping.
No.
I didn't hear
it. It sounded good.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, it sounded good to me too.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. Nicole, we're going to have to do this again. We're going to have to do the I call you from the studio, because I'm really surprised
okay.
we didn't get that those weird sounds that we normally get when you call in.
And I'm not on the headset either.
So oh, okay. Okay, we'll have to remember that. This worked well.
Yeah.
So, okay then. Well, thank you guys again.
Yeah, thank you.
For participating.
Oh,
wow.
Our pleasure.
Being a part. So, all right. And we'll be in touch to see about whether or not we're going to do this again for Civil War.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
All
right.
Bye, guys.
All right.
Bye. Bye.